Catechism questions this morning come from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, numbers 88 through 90. What are the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption?
The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption are his ordinances, especially the word, sacraments, and prayer, all of which are made effectual to the elect for salvation.
How is the word made effectual to salvation?
The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation.
How is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation?
That the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend to it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love. Lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives.
One of the most precious promises that Christ gave to the disciples, both then and now and in every age, is that he would be with us always, even until the end of the age. He would be with us. You have to remember he's initially giving this promise to the apostles and a mere 120 disciples after he has charged them to make all nations his disciples. Not just some people in all nations, whole nations, all of them across the face of the earth, make them his disciples. And the promise whereby he ensures them that he will make sure that his disciples just like us, will in time accomplish this great feat, and also will know him, be sustained by him, have his joy, have his peace, have his strength and his courage, is his little words, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Now you have to remember he offered this promise to the disciples just before he ascended into heaven, just before they see him disappear. He's not going to be with them in the same way that he was before. They were already fearful at various times when he was actually there physically present with them. You can just imagine that they were wondering exactly how is he going to be with us and with us always when we can't see him anymore. Quite obviously, you have to remember, though Jesus is fully God, he's also fully man. Which means he has a body, which means that he is in one place at a time. And they watch him ascend into heaven. How is he going to be with them? Well, this is one of the things that I think Jesus taught the disciples then, and he teaches us now, by the strange incident that occurred when he appeared after the resurrection to two disciples. They weren't apostles, they weren't part of the 12, just two ordinary disciples who were walking on the road to Emmaus. You can read about it in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. He appears to them, and we're told that he conceals himself. He conceals his identity. Now, that already is strange because you would think that if he wants to encourage these disciples who are dejected because their Lord has been crucified, the Messiah has been crucified, which, and you have to remember, to the Jewish at that time, to have a crucified Messiah made no sense. What that meant is your messianic movement just came to an end, which meant you either forgot about everything or you got a new Messiah. You got a new leader. It was just that simple. They're dejected. They're confused because the women have come and reported that the tomb is empty, that Jesus has been raised. And these guys don't know what to think. So you would think that the main means of encouraging these two disciples, they obviously need encouragement, they need understanding, they need to have their understanding as to God's plan of redemption and what has been accomplished through the crucifixion of Christ and his resurrection needs to be made plain to them. And they need to be strengthened and encouraged and given joy so that they can be strong and strong witnesses for Jesus. So you would think that the thing that he would do is appear to them in a way that they could see who he is. That would be the quickest way to do that. But he doesn't. He goes out of his way to keep them from recognizing who he is, and then he engages in this conversation with them. And they say, yeah, you know, Jesus, we thought he was the one, he was crucified, and now the women are telling us this stuff, and we don't know what to believe. And he says, foolish and slow of heart to believe all that God has written in the scriptures. He doesn't say, foolish and slow of heart to recognize me. He says, foolish and slow of heart to believe all that God has written in the scriptures. You notice what he does. He's taking their attention off of him personally and his identity, and he's putting their attention onto the scriptures. And remember, the scriptures that they had at the time was the Old Testament. Even with the Old Testament, he's pointing them there. He says, the problem is you've been slow to believe all that God has written there. And then we're told that for some time he began in all of the Old Testament scriptures to preach the scriptures that talked about him, talked about his coming, talked about the fact that he's divine, talked about the fact that he's going to suffer for the sins of his people, he's going to die, talk about the fact that he's going to be raised, that he's going to be exalted to the right hand of God, and so forth. He preaches the scriptures to them. Then, as they reach their abode, he starts to go on, they invite him in, and then when they're breaking bread together, when he blesses the bread, their eyes are open and they recognize him, and then he disappears. And his point here for them and for us is that this is how the risen Lord is going to be with us. He's going to be with us through the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit working through certain means, what the old Puritans and the pilgrims who first settled our land used to call the means of grace. This is the way Jesus, through the Spirit, is going to be with us, through the scriptures. And that includes the reading of the word, according to the meditating on the word, the memorizing of the word, but also especially the preaching of the word. You know, we have to remember that in our digital age, and there's nothing wrong with that, God in his sovereignty has given us this technology. And mankind, we see it again and again and again. When we first get new technology, you have people run ahead and just kind of go overboard with it and use it in all kinds of crazy ways that's not good. But that's okay. God brings his people along. God's people redeem all that technology and put it to good use. And so we want to use all that technology in witnessing. We've got videos, we've got digital, we got internet, we got all those things. We want to make full use of them. But the crazy thing is, in this technological age, in this digital age, the preaching of God's word will never go out until the end of the age when Christ returns. It may go out of style with what's considered hip and in, but it will never go out of style in terms of being God's way of bringing forth his word with power. In that sense, even though God is with it in terms of giving us new technology, in this sense, he is old-fashioned. It's not about the person. It's not about simple words coming out. It's not about sounds striking your eardrums. It is about the Holy Spirit taking this forth. As Paul says, the kingdom of God does not consist in speech, but it does consist in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the means. This is God's own way of carrying forth his word with power. So Jesus told them and us, this is how I will make myself manifest to you. John 15 and 14, he promised. He says, I will be with you. If you love me, keep my commandments. He who loves me keeps my commandments, and I will come to him. I will disclose myself to him. He says, I will come and make my abode with him, and the Father will too. This is how it happens. He keeps pointing us to the scriptures and to the breaking of bread in the Lord's Supper. And remember, the Lord's Supper is about the communion, about the fellowship, about the koinonia that we have as we eat this bread and this wine gathered around God's table, by which he says, you're my family, you're my people. I identify with you. Do you identify with me? In this way, Jesus is with us always, even until the end of the age. Amen.